The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of RIB English Radio, now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sayyid Muhammad Rizvi. He's going to talk about Palestinian resistance and the brutal attack of Israel on Gaza Strip.
The ongoing, these days, wars are not fought on the battlegrounds only, but it's also on the media front. The pictures on TV screens around the world about the devastation that the Israeli bombardments is causing in the Gaza Strip, and more so the number of children and babies being killed, this has forced the politician to reevaluate their position about the absolute right of self-defense given to Israel. But if you look at the French President Macron, he has very openly and clearly and forcefully in the interview he gave to BBC, very clearly talks about, you know, the ceasefire. He says there is no other solution than first a humanitarian pause, going to a ceasefire. Today, these are his words, civilians are bombed. These babies, these ladies, and these old people are bombed and killed. So there is no reason for that and no legitimacy, so we do urge Israel to stop. Even the head of the Anglican Church in England, Justin Welby, who is the Archbishop of Canterbury, he in his opening address to their own, you know, gathering that they have in the Church of England, he said, as a religious leader, I can say that killing of so many civilians, the extensive damage to civilian infrastructure cannot be morally justified. He says, I'm not a politician. I do not have military or political answers to this crisis. I do not speak from those perspectives. But the call for a ceasefire is a moral cry that we are hearing from people of many faiths and none. Those who don't even have faith, they still are concerned about it. He says, further, our common humanity must find another way to achieve justice, security, and peaceful coexistence for Israelis and Palestinians from now for the future. And in his words, he says, in Christ's name, we cry out from our hearts, no more, the killing must stop. Locally, you know, it's very interesting to see that in British Columbia, 63 municipal councillors have signed an open letter addressed to the federal government, you know, calling for ceasefire in Gaza. And specifically, they mention about the death of 4,500 Palestinian children. And they state very clearly, we are ashamed at Canada's abstention at the United Nations General Assembly on a resolution calling for an immediate, durable, and sustained humanitarian truce leading to a cessation of hostilities. Canada should be a leader on the world stage, but instead sat on the sidelines. And this is where, you know, we see that when it comes to the common man on the street, you know, these, you know, images on the TV screens has an impact, and that's where we have to realize the importance of public opinion and how we can be influential in that way. May the wisdom prevail among the sensible leaders around the world, and may Allah protect the innocent lives. The politicians, by nature, look at the waters. The conflicts might be, you know, thousands of miles away, but they are looking at their interest locally. And the ongoing conflict in Palestine has shown how public opinion can influence the official policies. And this is where the number counts. The number of potential voters. And this is what they look for. So it's not just a foreign policy and, you know, an issue far away. It also, they are also looking at the local situation more, actually. According to the a polling done 10 days ago by Angus Reid Institute, it shows that 65% of Canadians are for either a temporary or a full ceasefire. 19% says we don't want ceasefire, and 16% are not sure. So that shows you, you know, that the majority of the Canadians are for the ceasefire. And this is where, you know, numbers count. And this reinforces what I've been saying for a long, long time about civic engagement for us as a Muslim community. You know, sometimes we hear, and recently some youth had asked me this question, that they have been told that there is a hadith from Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam. Where, you know, a companion had asked about a situation which were going on those days, whether we should participate or not, get involved publicly or not. And Imam says, you know, uskun manzilak, you stay home, don't come out, you know, until the Sufyani appears. Means when one of the signs of the zuhur of the Mahdi takes place, then you come. And, you know, this is, it's important to understand, and I mentioned to them, and I would like to say it here also publicly, that don't look at the ahadith in isolation, number one. Number two, look at the context. You to realize Imam is not talking out of context. Is that a statement which is for all the Shias, for all the time, all parts of the world? No. This is a time where there was a group, you know, Banu Abbas were in the front, starting this revolution against Banu Umayyah, and Banu Abbas were using the name of Ahlul Bayt, although our Imam refused to be part of that, you know, movement. But they got support from some of the descendants of Imam Hassan alayhi salam. And they used them as a front. And they said, we are actually, you know, fighting for their cause, for ar-ridha min Ali Muhammad. This is how they manipulated the sympathy of the people towards the Ahlul Bayt. And this is where the Sahabi comes to the sixth Imam and said, do I get involved in that or not? And there was one from those descendants of Imam Hassan who actually was trying to portray himself as the Mahdi. You know? And this is where Imam says, Uskun manzilik, stay at your home. In that specific context, Imam is saying to that Shia, don't get involved. It doesn't mean for all the time, for all the places, and for all Shias, no. If you live in a country which is run by democratic principles, where numbers count, and you as a Canadian citizen have a right to exercise your vote, you can bring about, and I've said this many, many times, civic engagement doesn't mean that everything will be okay. What I'm saying is that the path which has so many thorns will not change into the path of roses for us, but at least some of the thorns will be pushed aside. If we can exercise our right and make things better for ourselves, for our children and our grandchildren, why not exercise that right? And Sharan, there is no problem there at all. You look at the way Even our Grand Marja, you know, guided the Shia community in the very first issue when the Americans were in control of Iraq after Saddam, and they wanted to constitute this constitutional assembly, the assembly which will draft the constitution. They wanted to have a caucus system. They said, oh, we'll put one-third Shia, one-third Sunni, one-third Kurd. This was the American plan. And this was the first time that Ayatollah Sistani made a very decisive political statement there. He said, such an assembly will have no legitimacy. The assembly which will sit down to write the constitution has to be based on one man, one vote. And so, you know, before you go and look at that hadith and give a fatwa, think about it. Sistani didn't read that hadith. They go and sit home. It depends on time and situations. You have that opportunity here to make things better for yourself, for your children, for your future generations. And this is where I'm saying numbers count, and we have to be civically involved in this situation.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
روحي كريم عظيم عليم حليم حكيم متين شاكر ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صل عليه.